Kathleen Abram DeRoll. I've been in Youngstown since 1973.
I'm Marie Lou. I was born in Youngstown, 1951, at Northside Hospital. I grew up here, I have to say this, graduated from St. Ed's Junior High, and then went to Cleveland for high school and college, Beaumont and John Carroll, then moved to Hawaii. University of Hawaii did some graduate work, and then through circumstances in 1988, came back to Youngstown.
And my name is Ed Hellahan. I was born in Youngstown, also Northside Hospital, 1949. But I moved out of the area, lived in Wisconsin for quite a bit, New York City, and Columbus, Ohio, eventually moved back into the area. The late 80s, and hooked up with our Tai Chi group in 1991.
Okay, and then I thought it'd be interesting. First of all, I think, you know, we kind of want to talk about Tai Chi in Youngstown, but I thought it'd be kind of cool to find out, you know, how come each one of us came to the Tai Chi group and how long we've been members. And so I'll start out and I'll say, it's weird, I came to Tai Chi because one of my very best friends wanted to take Tai Chi, and she didn't want to do it by herself. And so she asked me if I wanted to take Tai Chi with her, and I was like, sure, okay, I'll try it. You know, what the heck, I'll go along with you. And we ended up going to Eddie Eisnick's class out at Southwoods. And that wasn't really Tai Chi. It was just really, he just did the exercises and the breathing exercises. And we never really got into the set at all. And he kept saying, you got to hook up with Marie Lou. You got to hook up with Marie Lou. And then I knew Ed already. And I asked him, well, do you know Eddie Eisnick? And I also already knew Eddie Eisnick from 100 years ago. But I asked Ed, and he said, yeah, he's in my Tai Chi group. So then I joined the Tai Chi group. Okay, Ed.
Yeah, I always kind of had an interest in Tai Chi. And when I was living in New York City, would go to a couple informational sessions that were in the city and did a lot of reading on my own and tried to do some kind of Tai Chi movements on my own. When I was in Columbus, Ohio, there were formal classes in the Yang style with Daniel Wang, who was a very good instructor. And so, but when I got to Youngstown, I really hooked up, and that was 1991, with study here with Marie.
Well, when I graduated from John Carroll in 1973, I had intentions to move to Hawaii to continue my study of Chinese language and also some martial arts. And I had a job, and a coworker said, this was down at Case Western Reserve University, there was a graduate student from Taiwan who was teaching martial arts, both Tai Chi and some Shaolin Chuan. So I started with him, this is Kai Song. And studied with him from 73 to 74 before I went to Hawaii. But during that year, he would always say, because he taught something called a Chen synthetic style, which was a Yang style mixed with Bagua and Xingyi. And he said, if you ever have an opportunity to learn Chen style, you should, because it's the mother of all Tai Chi Chuan. So when I was all packed up, ready to go to Hawaii to go to the university and seek out a teacher there, he said, I did find out that there was a Dong style, who was a Yang style teacher. And I immediately joined that class. Also went to, Buck Sam Kong Siu Lun Pai, which is a Shaolin Chuan. And then through university presentation at the Honolulu Academy of Arts, Chinese cultural event I attended. And there was the Tai Chi that was very similar to what Kai Song had been teaching us. It was being demonstrated by Randy Choi, but he was doing a Wu style. See, the style that, long story short, I'm making it short. The teacher of that school, that is the Randy Choi's teacher, and also the others on my left and on my right, the husband-wife team encouraged me to start taking classes with this newcomer, this Professor Liu Di, who had been recently arrived, from San Francisco, but from Taiwan, and he was teaching. And he did his demonstration, and it was really very, very interesting. And I thought, wow, well, I should start taking classes. And they had practices, actually, on Sundays in Kapi'olani Park. So that's how we started informally, and then started more formally Monday and Wednesday and Friday, 10 o'clock in the morning. So, and the evening classes as well. So I wasn't attending all of those, just most of those, if I could squeeze them in between classes at the university and going there and also work. So that's how I got into Tai Chi. Let me see. Is that enough? Can I go talking more?
Well, I think at this point, just because for the record, we I think we should say, Marie, you are the instructor or Sifu or whatever for the Youngstown Tai Chi small frame group.
That was, yes. My teacher was a student of Y.C. Pan, who was a student of Chen Fa Ke in the early 1930s. Now, he learned, that is, Y.C. Pan learned Lao Jia, which is the old frame, large circle frame, from Chen Fa Ke. Y.C. Pan also learned what he called the Jiaba frame, which is also equivalent to Chen small frame, from a teacher, Mr. Ma. I don't know which Mr. Ma, but when Y.C. Pan was teaching, he taught that array of forms plus cannon fist and a few other things to my teacher, D.Y. Lu, who was his student in the mid-1960s in Taiwan. Mr. Pan had learned in Beijing from Chen Fa Ke and then moved to Taiwan earlier. So that's the lineage right there. And then when D.Y. Lu came to the United States in 1973, because his father had immigrated to this country years before, he'd served in the United States Army as a supply sergeant, but his own family couldn't come until much later when they had lifted the limitations on immigration from Taiwan. And so when my husband decided, oh, yes, he is my husband, D.Y. Lu, didn't mention that. He came to this country in 1973 to San Francisco, where his brother and father had been living, and then was asked by people in Hawaii to be part of a Masters of Kung Fu tournament that was to be held at McKinley Auditorium in Honolulu, and he did go. That was June of 1974. He made a presentation, so impressed the people that they decided he should be invited to teach. But he went back, you know, to San Francisco to close up, you know, whatever events he had started there, because he had started teaching in Daly City in 1973, some of what he had learned from Y.C. Pan. But then moved to Hawaii in August of 74. Now, little did he know, little did I know, that that was the very same month, August of 74, that I moved to Hawaii after I had been a student of Kaisung for that previous year. And he had told me, remember, if you ever find a teacher of Chen Taiji, that's the mother of Taiji. Become a student of that person. So whenever I saw this fellow, this person, that is, first of all, Randy Choi doing Wu style, which is, by the way, somewhat related to small frame, which is why it was very close. When I saw him do that form, and then the two husband and wife team, left and right, the people who had been students of D.Y. Lu encouraging me to join. And then after I saw D.Y. Lu, he was teaching Chen style. I said, wow, this is the person I have to learn from. So the rest is history.
Wow, I think that's so interesting that that you were told that you should be studying Chen style.
Yes.
And the person who, and as far as you know, was D.Y. the only person in Hawaii or in your immediate vicinity that was teaching Chen style?
At that time in the United States, I have heard since then that Y.C. Pan's older son, possibly somewhere on the East Coast, might have had a student or two. But at that time, most people, when they thought of Tai Chi, they thought of Yang style, which was very common, maybe some Wu style, but they didn't know about the origin or the root form, Chen style. And so D.Y. Lu really introduced that in this country from 1973 in the Daly City area and then moved it in 1974 to Hawaii. And through his teaching, Y.C. Pan also met a lot of people, too, because some of the students of D.Y. Lu would go then, well, at least one in particular, and also two at least, went to see their grandmaster, which would have been Y.C. Pan, still living then at in Taiwan. So,
well, how many, I mean, I know there are other Tai Chi groups, and do you know, are most of them Yang style, or do you know?
At this time, there's a real mixed bag.
Oh,
ever
okay.
See, things have really opened up. And you have to remember, in the early 70s, it was quite different from the way it is now. Now yeah. You can find Chen style.
What was the feeling like back at that time?
At that time?
Was there great interest? Was there open, were you openly received?
One of the hallmarks of Chen style was its explosiveness, its leaps, its kicks, its energy, its change of tempo. It was very amazing to see, which was really in contrast to what people thought Tai Chi was, which was always slow and even and almost falling asleep. And when they saw D.Y. Lu do his vigorous movements, they said, wow, is that Tai Chi? And he said, yes. Mm-hmm. In fact, it's the root of Tai Chi. And in fact, I'll tell you, that in subsequent years, whenever we heard of articles, even Yang family people who have who saw Chen style, I mean, they were one and the same. It was an old, they were common in their origins. And how it played out, though, when he taught large numbers of people, you just had to keep the circles large, keep them slow, so people could see them, you
so
know.
They could follow.
Yeah, and follow, yeah. So it became, a
style,
yes, which is different from oftentimes what they would practice with their own family or in home or things of that sort. So that's how, and then it became, because of personalities of teachers, they would emphasize one aspect or another of the mm-hmm. form. Mm-hmm. And so you had students learning, but differently, even from the same student, because you teach one student who had these skills a different way sometimes from mm-hmm. how you teach another.
Now we're taught, and we know that Tai Chi has a lot of various benefits to bestow upon people. Was that true at that time too? Was that well known?
I think in the context of health, mm-hmm. probably yes. Mm. And that was probably emphasized more in the people who were practicing for meditation purposes, you know. But even in more vigorous Chen practitioners' ideas, there's good aerobic benefit too. I mean, here you don't think of Tai Chi as aerobic benefit, mm-hmm. but when you saw people going through, you know, upper level forms, there's mm-hmm. definitely, you know, musculoskeletal, all kinds of benefit. Although I do have to say, having mm-hmm. been doing this for like 40 some years, that as you get older, you have to tone some things down, because mm-hmm. one of the other characteristics of Chen style is mm-hmm. stomping mm-hmm. the right foot, clonk. And you know, you can only do that so many times on concrete, you know, and after 35 years of something, your hips and your joint, your knee might scream. So you modify it. And that's what I have done, mm-hmm. you know, in my teaching, mm-hmm. because I've mm-hmm. done long-term and want people to be able to do it long-term. But okay, the sure. principles are so interesting, still applicable, mm-hmm. not just for the exercise that you as an individual get, but for the calming effect, for the whole body energy balancing, for just the interest, you know. And people at different ages are interested, I think, in different things. They mm-hmm. come for a lot of martial artists come because they connect it to the art they know and then integrate what they learn in what they teach. I mean, because they find that it's at least in the Chen style, which is so rooted still in practical application, people can see, if they have an eye, you know, what things are used for. And mm-hmm. so it just adds to their ability to teach what they know in their particular martial art.
Is there really anything comparable in Western traditions to Tai Chi?
People would call it sometimes a dance, looks like a dance, but it's with more purpose, I think. It's not quite a choreography, although some people could look at that. There's really nothing exactly the same way.
No.
No, it's called moving yoga, standing yoga, moving meditation. I actually read an article that somebody called it moving medication because of what it does for your endorphins, what it does for your hormone balance, you know, things of that sort. In fact, I believe Harvard Medical School has recently published a book relating the benefits of Tai Chi practice to the various studies that they've done to confirm these things. It's just not your human experience, but they've done studies now, and this book apparently links those together so that people will seriously consider this as something useful to learn.
Yeah, I mean, I think that even though we practice Chen style, and I love it because of the fact that, you know, you're with the kicks and really the body moves the arms. I love that concept. But the Yang style would be as well something that would keep you with your balance.
Sure.
And and that even might be more like moving yoga than Chen style, I would think.
It all depends, because upper-level yoga practitioners can move somewhat
pretty
swiftly, too.
Oh, yeah.
It all depends what's in your intent, what you intend to do. Mm-hmm. But yes, a lot of the studies that were done did involve examining Yang-style practitioners.
We have the advantage of practicing slow or fast.
That's right. That's exactly the advantage.
Right.
And the range is up to us.
It's up to you. And see, that is the freedom that we particularly like in the Chen Small Frame that I teach, because it's very, very adaptable. Mm-hmm. Meaning that a person walking in, how you play at 7 o'clock in the morning will not be the same as how you play at 6 p.m. or at high noon. And as you get older, or if you're being young and you could be very vigorous, you can do the leaps, do the kicks, do the spin kicks, do everything, and then you can tone down as you get older and realize, oh, it's all the same thing. You can still do it. You don't have to stop. You just modify it.
In that, in your video, because Marie, we were at that health fair and Marie's video was on. Mm-hmm. It was funny to see how slow, and I know you were doing it for, you know, an audience, but it was funny to see how really slow
it was
compared to when we practice.
We practice now.
But it is true. Faster. When I'm practicing at home, there's many, many times that I am going as slow as I possibly can to really feel it in every one of my muscles, because I really want to know that I'm doing it the right way, and so you have to go real slow. At least I have to. You probably don't have to, but I have to go slow to make sure I'm actually exercising properly.
Or to integrate the breathing sometimes is better to go slow.
Yes, yes.
What you're paying attention to, your breathing or your movement, that's your intent. What you're going to get out of that frame when you do it at that time. Mm-hmm. You can work with momentum at a higher speed when you're moving more vigorously, but then when you're doing it more slowly, you're working, develop strength in the legs, depending upon the size, the height of your stance, the breadth of your stance, all of those things, depending upon what you're intending to do. You use the frame, adapt it to your aim, and then just use it. It's a tool.
Could you mention a little bit how D.Y. Lu initiated the group here in Youngstown?
Oh, yes. Well, we had our gym in Honolulu. From the time when he was invited, Chuck's Kung Fu invited him to start teaching through his school in 1974. And at that time, there were branches on all the islands practically. But this was Oahu, and D.Y. Lu taught through his school. Then he branched off, D.Y. Lu did, into his own separate school, 395 North King Street. The building probably is still there. It was next to a bar. And I painted a yin-yang sign on the window, which stayed there for years after we left, yes. But anyway, then we went to, we had our classes at St. Louis Alumni Clubhouse. More recently, most recently then, we did some at Hemeter Center at the University of Hawaii. But we also did at the Pahlolo Hongwanji. That was where we actually left from. We were there for years, and it was in 1988 that we had to leave. And this was a very sad reason, because D.Y. Lu actually had a spinal cord tumor, C3 to C6, an astrocytoma, which effectively made him a quadriplegic. It came gradually. It was a slow-growing tumor. So he realized right away that we had to kind of close up shop and move to where we had family. And oddly, the first place he thought, you know, for me at least, was Youngstown, because that's where my family was. We had an old home here. My grandmother, the house that I'm living in now is where my grandmother lived. We were raised probably just a mile from there on Laura Avenue, 436 Laura, it's just a field right now. But my grandmother's house was there, and he knew we had shelter. We had family. So we sold whatever we had in Honolulu, moved to Youngstown. And that was 1988. We left, actually, in those days, you could take the airline ticket of somebody else. They weren't so, I mean, you could sell tickets, and the airline would take them. You know, nowadays you can't do this. But officially, we never left, because our names weren't on those tickets.
Oh, really? That's
yes,
funny.
Yes. But anyway, long story short, we did end up in Youngstown, and he kept saying to me, because he was just failing little bit by little bit, you know, and he said, you know, if you start a Tai Chi class, I'll live longer. So I looked and looked and tried to find a Tai Chi class. Eventually, I did. February 1990, the continuing education department at YSU had my class, Tai Chi Step 1. And that's when I taught the first class. That was spring of 90. And with that time, YSU was on quarters. So we had one quarter, maybe two quarters. And I'm not sure what we did for the summer. But I do know that I had already a good group of students at that point. And actually, some of those people are still coming to class, believe it or not.
Like
this is
who?
2014.
Who?
Well, Trish Sturgeon.
Trish?
Trish
okay.
came.
Uh-huh.
She came, I think, the second quarter.
Joanne.
Ed, Joanne. Yes, she came at that time. Ah. And there are a couple people who are not with us any longer. 5 minutes? Oh, gosh. Okay. Well, anyway, so as my husband's health failed, and we had this wonderful orderly who was helping me out, because I took care of my husband for those 2 years as he was really failing, but telling him about my students, having interesting, you know, stories about what we were teaching. That summer, it was July, my husband's family, his brothers and dad came to visit, probably knowing that this was the last time they were going to see him, my husband, alive. And the orderly put my husband in a wheelchair to wheel him to the place where we practiced in a side yard of a house across from Wick Park. It was a home that was owned by one of my early students, and she offered that place for us to practice. So it was an easy enough place for D.Y. Lu to be wheeled. And so the orderly wheeled him over there. The students were practicing in the side yard, and he just looked and he saw that art that he had brought from his teacher to California, to Hawaii, and then to Youngstown was taking root. So that was July, and he died the next month. That was it.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's so wonderful when we're doing the set, mm-hmm. and we were commenting it on the other day, too, at the park, that it's so wonderful to know that you're in a long line.
Yeah.
That you're just a continuing piece of a picture or a puzzle
mm-hmm.
that is just going on and on, and you're just fitting right into it.
This
and it's
true.
A wonderful feeling.
Oh, it is.
And,
yeah.
and we're back at the park.
Yes, we are.
Summer, so which is really nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep, every summer we're there.
Okay, guys, what do you think? Is it a wrap?
It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.